And are not necessarily those of the program sponsor, advertisers, New World Radio, WNWR, its staff, management, owners, or licensees. No decision should ever be made when solely based on advice heard on the radio. Please consult with a professional in the field before taking any action on information presented in this broadcast.
The following program is brought to you by the CyberSoft Operating Corporation.
It's time for the Tri-State Area's brand new 50,000-watt radio talk show, Between the Minutes, featuring politicians, businessmen, and professionals in the community. Between the Minutes is brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com. And now, here's the host of Between the Minutes, Peter Radradotti.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest radio talk show, brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. I'm your host, Pete Radotti. The first segment of Between the Minutes will feature Inside Your Computer. This is similar to my newspaper article, Inside Your Computer, in the Philadelphia Public Record, discussing many interesting topics about computer security. Last week's show was on ACH fraud via computer, where your computer was infected by a virus or Trojan horse and cyber crooks then used the information or control gained to transfer your money out of your account. Several examples were given and suggestions on how to protect yourself were offered. Last week, the FBI, U.S. Secret Service, the Internet Crime Complaint Center, and the Financial Services Information Sharing and Analysis Center issued a joint advisory to businesses on corporate account takeover, otherwise known as ACH fraud. They stated that criminals are now targeting the financial accounts of owners and employees of small and medium-sized businesses. They stated that often these funds may not be recovered, but that consumer accounts are protected by federal law. Some of the methods used to install the malicious software was opening email attachments, accepting fake friend requests on social sites, or visiting a legitimate but otherwise compromised website. Criminals often send mass emails, pop-up messages, and advertisements in order to get to the victim. There are several suggestions on how to protect yourself, including the suggestions we gave last week. Here are a few highlights given by the advisory. 1. Do not open attachments in unsolicited email. 2. Do not click on links in bulk email. 3. Do not respond to an email or pop-up with personal information. 4. Never use a link in an email to visit a financial website. Always enter the site address by hand. 5. Have a good antivirus product installed and active. You can get a 30-day demo of a good antivirus product at www.cyber.com. 6. Keep a separate computer just for your online banking. 7. Turn off and lock up computers used for online banking when not in use. 8. Install all security updates. 9. Change all default passwords and have hard-to-guess passwords. 10. Block all pop-ups. Other suggestions are 1. Monitor and reconcile accounts at least once per day. 2. Discuss options offered by your financial institution to help detect and prevent out-of-pattern activity. 3. Note any changes in the performance of your computer, such as dramatic loss of speed, changes in the way things appear, the computer locks up or doesn't work correctly, unexpected rebooting, and an unexpected request for a one-time password or token in the middle of an online session. You should also look for new or unexpected toolbars or icons and the inability to shut down or restart your computer. If you detect suspicious activity, immediately stop all activity and disconnect the compromised computer from the network. Immediately contact your financial institution, inform them of the problem, and have them disable online access to accounts, change all passwords, open new accounts as appropriate, and request them to review all recent transactions. 3. If fraud is detected, file a police report. Finally, they suggest that if you have contingency plans in place to recover systems suspected of being infected, that's a lot better than not having them. So remember, if you need a good antivirus program for your home or office computer, let me suggest a product sold by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. You can download free 30-day trials from their website. It's www.cyber.com. That's www.cyber.com. In wrapping up this week's segment of Inside Your Computer, I hope some of the subjects I spoke about were helpful to you. Make sure you read my article, Inside Your Computer, every Thursday in the Philadelphia Public Record newspaper. We'll be right back with today's guest on Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM.
The multicultural voice of the Delaware Valley, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
Here's an important announcement. If you sustain damage from frozen pipes, water damage, don't leave yourself at the mercy of your insurance company. Call Hillis Public Adjusters. We represent you, the policyholder. Hillis negotiates directly with your insurance company to get you the most money you're entitled to, maybe thousands of extra dollars. And the Hillis fee is based on a percentage of the settlement. It costs you nothing until your claim is settled. It's that simple. You wouldn't be your own lawyer. So why negotiate directly with your insurance company? Call 1-800-HILLIS-1. When you have a claim, your insurance company is the last place to call because they want to settle the claim for as little as possible. That's why you should call Hillis Public Adjusters. They'll appraise the damage, do all the paperwork, and negotiate your settlement. If your home or business was damaged, call Hillis Public Adjusters anytime, day or night, at 1-800-HILLIS-1. Why settle for less? Call Hillis first. Call 1-800-HILLIS-1.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti, your host on Between the Minutes, thanking you for listening to our show. Let's talk about CyberSoft Operating Corporation. CyberSoft has always stood for integrity, quality, and cost-effectiveness in computer security. CyberSoft invented antivirus for Unix and Linux systems. With 20 years' experience, they support more systems than anyone, including Microsoft Windows. Computer security problems are not single-faceted, and your solution should not be either. CyberSoft products like the VFine Security Toolkit include cryptographic baseline management in addition to a virus scanner. This allows you to detect more than just a software attack. For a limited time, you can purchase a one-year Windows antivirus security license for $24.95. In any computer security fight with the bad guys, we will be the last man standing. Call 610-825-4748 or visit our website at www.cyber.com. Again, that's 610-825-4748 or www.cyber.com.
America's men and women in uniform sacrifice every day for our country so we can continue to do the things we enjoy most, like playing soccer with our kids. But that's not an option for some families. I'm Devin McTavish, D.C. United Defender and two-time Humanitarian of the Year. For more than 140 years, the Armed Services YMCA has provided support for military families. Please join the ASYMCA in taking care of our soldiers' loved ones so they can continue to take care of us.
The Armed Services YMCA, serving those who serve America. ASYMCA.org.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Heard every Tuesday at 3 p.m. on Radio 1540 AM. Between the Minutes reaches a large listening audience throughout the Tri-State area with 50,000 watts of power. You could increase your selling power by advertising on the Between the Minutes program. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales@betweentheminutes.com.
The Tri-State Area's radio talk show, Between the Minutes, continues on Radio 1540 AM with your host, Peter Rodotti.
You're listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM. Let me say thank you to the gang at Donnie Mac's Deli on 4th and Fayette Street in Conshohocken for picking our business card out and giving us a wonderful hoagie tray for lunch. The food there is delicious, so if you're looking for lunch from 1 to 100, and call Donnie Mac's at 610-828-8518. That's 610-828-8518. Donnie Mac's, great food at a great price. Let's get back to today's show and guest on Between the Minutes. Let's welcome Montgomery County Commissioner Bruce Castor, Jr. Can I call you Bruce or Mr. Castor or Mr. Commissioner?
Bruce is fine, thanks.
Okay, good. Thank you. You've been involved in Montgomery County since 1986, wearing a lot of different hats, and now you're a county commissioner. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I actually started full-time in the summer of 1986. I was a part-time intern in 1985 for the district attorney's office, and I was invited back as an assistant district attorney in 86. Went up through the ranks, primarily prosecuting homicide. I was appointed chief of the trials division in 91 and first assistant DA in 93, and then elected DA in 99 and reelected in 2003. And then 2007, I was elected county commissioner, and I'm still there.
Holy smokes, and all this because of a summer internship?
Yeah, I took a summer internship. I had an interest in criminal law, and And I found that there was an opening in Montgomery County DA's office. My father knew the district attorney from being in school with him and arranged an introduction, and the rest is history.
So all you high school and college kids out there, listen up to what the man just said. His whole career came out of one summer internship, so go get some summer internships.
Got to get your foot in the door.
There you go. Most people only have a vague idea of what a county commissioner does. Can you tell us some of what the major responsibilities of your job are?
Yeah, it's actually not that difficult to explain. Most people understand the way the Philadelphia city government is set up. You have city council and the mayor, so you have the legislature and you have the executive. In a county, such as Montgomery County, the three county commissioners are both the legislature and the executive. So the three of us handle the same responsibilities that city council and the mayor combined in the city of Philadelphia do. It is actually an antiquated system because Montgomery County has 800,000 residents, and to have a government of that size run by three commissioners is a pretty daunting task.
But you manage.
Well, we do, but it's how well we manage is open to debate.
Okay. Well, actually, most people don't even know what a county is. They know what their local municipality is because they rely on them for police, trash pickups, things like that. They know what the state is because they get a tax bill. And they know who the federal government is because they're on TV all the time. But you know, most people don't understand what a county is or you know, what their responsibilities are.
Yeah, the unit of government actually comes from England and from Great Britain, where the county was the primary unit of government. And in Pennsylvania, it still is really the primary unit of government. It was designed to be a size originally where you could ride on horseback and you could get from one end to the other in one day. So that was about the size of a county. There are 67 counties in Pennsylvania. Montgomery County is the third largest behind Philadelphia, which is also a county. People don't realize that it's the city and county of Philadelphia. And then Allegheny County, which includes Pittsburgh. Montgomery County has 800,000 people, as I mentioned, and if it were a state, there'd be five states smaller in terms of population. If it were a city, it'd be the 14th largest city in the country, so it's a big place, and we have a lot of responsibility.
Well, for those people who don't know about Route 202 in the mornings, it's probably still a one-day ride from end to end. It's just the traffic on 202 is tough.
This time it's in a car, though.
Yeah, I know. Correct. There's a lot of things going on in Montgomery County. It's almost starting to look like daytime television out there. And, you know, you're coming up roses in all of this. You're just doing great. But can't say that about your co-commissioners. Now, you ran for commissioner as a team with Matthews, but Matthews turned on you and his party in order to team up with Hoffel to the extent that Matthews was censured by the Montgomery County Republican Party. Can you talk about that at all?
Well, back in 2007, there was a number of people who were interested in being county commissioner. And one of them was Jim Matthews, who was the incumbent, two-term incumbent commissioner. And people tend to forget he also ran for lieutenant governor along with Lynn Swan, and that ticket didn't do particularly well. But there were a lot of people who thought that Jim Matthews was not an honest man and was somebody that we would do better not supporting. The 15 members of what was then called the Executive Committee, which ran the Republican Party in Montgomery County, the 15 of them met in January of 2007, and 13 of the 15 decided that we needed somebody other than Jim Matthews to be a county commissioner. And I was among the people who thought that he should not run for re-election. People asked me, why did I not want to serve with him? And I said that I thought that Jim was a dishonest man, that the first thing that he would do if he got elected was that he would make a deal with the Democrats to cut out all the people who got him elected, and that we'd end up wasting a lot of money to seeing that he won the office. Well, the rest of the rank and file of the county committee thought that the district attorney, while they thought I did a pretty good job in that office, they thought I was a little cynical about politics and that I was exaggerating my impressions of the man.
If anything, you under-exaggerated.
Well, I certainly didn't say all those things in a public forum, but I said those things within the county committee, and they thought that I was overreacting. It turns out that I certainly was not, and he was everything and worse than I had anticipated.
Well, I think the primary paper for Montgomery County is the Times Herald, and I think they're backing you up in your opinion publicly. So it is pretty much public knowledge. One of the things that bothered me a good deal was that during the last election, you gathered the most votes. You know, you showed popularity across political boundaries in order to get that level of support. And as I understand it, the rule of thumb in Montgomery County is that the person with the most votes becomes chairman of the commissioners. Yet Matthews and Hoffa appeared to have conspired to cheat the voters and elect themselves as chairman and vice chairman. How has this affected your ability to represent the voters who wanted you?
Well, there's a common misconception that the title of chairman or vice chairman means anything. It doesn't mean anything at all. We all have the same level of authority and power. It's whoever controls two votes that is the ones that are controlling the agenda. And ordinarily, the majority party, in this case the Republicans, would divide among themselves who held the title of chairman, who held the title of vice chairman. But it isn't so much the selection and the delineation that somebody had a title as what it represents. It represents that that Matthews decided that even though the voters had selected me and the Republican majority and list of things that we wanted to do, setting that aside, that he was going to empower the other side, the side that lost, and we in fact ended up enacting the entire agenda that was the defeated agenda of the Democrats in the campaign. So, I mean, it was the most stark contrast you could have in the election. You had a platform the Republicans had and a platform the Democrats had. The voters selected the Republicans' platform, and they got the Democrats' platform.
Yeah, well, let me read from the Times Herald. And I've got a few articles here that paint a nice picture. December 9th, Times Herald. Montgomery County officials have been subpoenaed to appear before a grand jury investigating accusations that two commissioners violated the state Sunshine Act. They're not talking about you. Then on December 3rd, the DA confirms probe into meetings. Matthews and Hoffa talks overheard by the Times Herald merit criminal investigation. Now, reading this article is hilarious because the Times Herald sent a couple of reporters. They basically sat in the booth at the diner next to them and just listened and wrote notes. I mean, they didn't even if you're going to conspire, at least don't do it in a diner where anybody could be listening. Okay. Times Herald, December 31st. State Rep. Mike Verb, Republican, Montgomery County, has announced plans to introduce legislation aimed at strengthening the state's Sunshine Act, even as far as calling for jail time for the most egregious offenders. It turns out that even though it's a serious crime, the penalties are nothing almost, like $100 or something.
Well, it's $100 for each occasion, so that can add up when it happens often, and it also has with it the cost of prosecution, which can be very expensive if indeed the county investigating grand jury is working on it.
So 365 days times $100 times 2 years?
Well, I mean, this is an interesting development. The reporter was very clever. At the public meeting, he asked Huffle and Matthews if they had engaged in these breakfast meetings, and both of them readily agreed that they had. But then both of them said that they never discussed anything to do with county business, and it was only social. So then the reporter said, well, we interviewed someone who overheard and said that you were talking about county business, and they continued to deny it. And then the reporter said, well, the person that overheard it was a reporter working for us who wrote the things down. And then it changed to, well, we were discussing county business, but we weren't deliberating on anything. So they caught him in a lie. Now, why are they lying if they didn't know, unless they knew what they were doing was wrong?
Well, it sounds kind of whiny, actually.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, I saw, I think, one of the other stories that you had is there. While the incident involving these breakfast meetings, there's some level of interpretation because the newspaper reporter has to accurately report what was discussed and then match that up to items that were on our agenda, which the reporter was able to do. There's another incident that got some press. I think it's this one here, where The county commission had before it an issue regarding a an organization called the American Revolution Center, which was a museum that was to be built in Lower Providence Township. And to help with that project, Montgomery County appropriated, I think it was $2.5 million to assist the people who were working on that. Ultimately, the project was not built in Montgomery County. It went to Philadelphia, and there was a land swap for land in Philadelphia and land in Montgomery County. As a result of that, it freed up $3-plus million. So I had suggested at one of the commissioners' meetings that maybe we ought to try to recover that money. And, you know, if the idea was that the county commissioners had appropriated $2-plus million for a museum in Montgomery County, and it didn't happen, and there was money freed up from a land swap, maybe we should try to get our money back. Imagine my surprise when I got a letter from the person in charge of that project, Jerry Lenfest. A copy of a letter says, "Dear Commissioner Matthews and Commissioner Hoffel, thank you for taking the time to meet with me on such a day and such a time to discuss," and then the whole list of things that were all county business. I checked my calendar, and I found out that not only was I in the office that day, but I was just two doors down, and they just didn't ever bother to tell me.
Well, in fact, it's actually funnier than that, because the Times-Herald, again, December 5th, wrote up this meeting with Lenfest. And basically, Lenfest was expecting three county commissioners, and he was surprised to find himself in the company of only two, Matthews and Hoffel. And the third commissioner, Bruce Castor, was sitting in his office just down the hall, unaware the meeting was about to take place. "This isn't unusual," says Castor, you, who has complained for nearly 2 years about the Matthews-Hoffel self-described coalition government's secret meetings. The two commissioners' habit of excluding Castor came under scrutiny this week after Matthews and Hoffel revealed they've been meeting for 2 years for breakfast, and a Times-Herald reporter spying on them at Gem Restaurant recently discovered they were discussing county business. Yeah. Okay. I don't think I have to comment on that one. The listeners are intelligent. They can figure that one out.
Well, you know, one of the things that really makes me laugh about that is I used to get to work the Breakfast Club meetings, as I've dubbed it, the Breakfast Club.
Or Breakfast Gate. I like Breakfast
Gate.
That
was the Inquirer did that. But I like Breakfast Club better because it has sort of a juvenile ring to it. And the meetings were on Tuesday mornings. And that's the same day that the county commissioners had had a meeting on Tuesday mornings. And I could never understand why I would arrive in time for the meetings and no one else was ever there. And we started, this is no joke, every single meeting late. And I couldn't understand how it's possible that we would be late every time. Now I know why. Since the Breakfast Club was disbanded, we've now started our meetings on time. It was funny. Commissioner Matthews was incensed by this and said that we're going to continue to have these meetings and maybe we should hand out agendas for these meetings. But Commissioner Hoffel decided that maybe that wasn't such a good idea, so the meetings have been canceled.
So nobody's going to know if they're eating the Grand Slam special at Gem's Diner?
I don't know exactly what the special was, but it must have really been alluring to get them to come there.
Well, I'll tell you, I think the special was something that the citizens of Montgomery County aren't too happy about. Even though Gem's is fine, I think what was transpiring wasn't.
Well, you know, we're laughing about this, and it is kind of funny and sort of hard to believe that that the arrogance of these men is so great that they thought they could get away with it. But the bottom line is the public selected three people to run the government, and these two guys decided that they would just exclude one of the people's choice and, in fact, the people's first choice. And that should really offend people.
Well, they basically stole government. They stole the government.
That's true, and they're going to get a chance to correct it this year.
And you're right. It is funny, but it's funny in exactly the same way as the old Disney movie, The Gang That Couldn't Shoot Straight. I mean, it's comical. I mean, they're so awful at being bad that they're constantly being caught.
Well, I mean, you wonder why the leadership of both major parties want to dump them from their tickets. And Matthews has already realized that he had no chance to win, so he has bowed out of the election. And Commissioner Hoffel is fighting for his life with his own party.
Well, actually, Matthews didn't quite bow out. He had sort of an interesting thing, which was he said, well, I'll only run if I get the endorsement. But since he's already been censured, he has no chance of getting the endorsement at all.
Well, he is he actually changed it from that, saying that he wasn't going to seek the endorsement, but if he was drafted by the committee, he would consider running. And since he's not permitted to attend any committee functions because he was censured, it's a little hard to get drafted.
Okay. Well, I have time for another little interesting article. January 18th, the Times-Herald. Mr. Hoffel replies. He says, the Times-Herald misstated facts and showed biased. The Times-Herald editorial posted online January 8th is factually wrong, biased, and inconsistent with court decisions. You state that Commissioner Chairman Jim Matthews and I are in blatant violation of the state's Sunshine Act, enough to remove them from office because of our regular breakfasts at a local diner. You are wrong. We have not violated either the spirit or the letter of the Sunshine Act. It's not a violation of the Act for two county commissioners to meet for breakfast. It is not a violation of the Act for two county commissioners to discuss county business outside of a public meeting. Well, number one, I think thou dost protest muchly. Number two, it's whiny. I mean, stand up and take your lumps. You got caught.
Well, I mean, the best part about it is if there's nothing wrong with it, why'd you lie about it?
Yeah. Well, you know why they lied about it. They didn't want to stand up and take the lumps, so they lied about it.
Well, there's a maxim in the law. Remember, I was a trial lawyer for many years. It's a Latin phrase called falsus in uno, falsus in omnibus, which means if you're lying about one thing, you're lying about everything.
Well, we have some more articles to talk about, too. So it's going to be pretty interesting. Do you think Matthews and Hoffels were having meetings as far back as before they took office, which seems apparent to me at least because of their actions of colluding to take control of the government and not have you be the chairman?
There's no question. We've even verified that. But remember, while Commissioner Matthews was a sitting commissioner, Commissioner Hoffel and I were not. So they are allowed to meet because they weren't sworn in. But there was a series of meetings at Huntington Valley Country Club where they decided how they were going to divide up the spoils of the county government and essentially overturn the will of the voters.
Don't you just love it? I mean, I don't know how many of our listeners remember Peyton Place. Okay, guys, listen, you want to see Peyton Place, take a ride out to Montgomery County. You won't have a problem finding it. It looks like both Hoffel and Matthews destroyed their political future. Both men are under investigation for various problems. Both men have earned the anger of their party. On the other hand, you came out of this smelling like a rose. I mean, what's your future plans?
Well, this year is an election year, so I have to run for re-election as commissioner, and it will be, if the party supports me, it will be a difficult year because the demographics are not favorable to the Republicans in Montgomery County. We are the minority party, so it's quite a feat to be able to win elections. I think that we will, because I think the national mood is in our favor, and I think that the party has really had it with the Hoffel and Matthews administration, because pretty much your man in the street realizes that they voted for Brand A and got Brand X, and they're going to blame that on Hoffel and Matthews. I think the Democrats are making a big mistake if they go ahead and they nominate Commissioner Hoffel again, because he has a record that he's going to have a great deal of difficulty defending. We've taken the county to its record debt. We've lost so many employees we can't provide the service to the public that we should. The county workforce and morale is as low as it's ever been. And remember, I've been there more than two decades, so I can see it. And I think it's going to be very difficult for the Democrats to defend the Hoffel record.
It's funny. It's funny in a sad way, but it's funny. Okay. So you're listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM. It's that time of year again for the 2011 Philadelphia Car Show at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. The show runs from January 29th to February 6th. Tickets can be purchased at the door or online at www.phillyautoshow.com. That's www.phillyautoshow.com. We have tickets for the car show, so the first caller into the studio at 610-667-9697 or 1-877-667-9697 wins tickets. That's 610-667-9697 or 1-877-667-9697. Good luck. More on Radio Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM.
The multicultural voice of the Delaware Valley, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
Here's an important announcement. If you sustain damage from frozen pipes, water damage, don't leave yourself at the mercy of your insurance company. Call Hillis Public Adjusters. We represent you, the policyholder. Hillis negotiates directly with your insurance company to get you the most money you're entitled to, maybe thousands of extra dollars. And the Hillis fee is based on a percentage of the settlement. It costs you nothing until your claim is settled. It's that simple. You wouldn't be your own lawyer. So why negotiate directly with your insurance company? Call 1-800-HILLIS-1. When you have a claim, your insurance company is the last place to call because they want to settle the claim for as little as possible. That's why you should call Hillis Public Adjusters. They'll appraise the damage, do all the paperwork, and negotiate your settlement. If your home or business was damaged, call Hillis Public Adjusters anytime, day or night, at 1-800-HILLIS-1. Why settle for less? Call Hillis first. Call 1-800-HILLIS-1.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti, your host on Between the Minutes, talking to you about CyberSoft. CyberSoft has always stood for integrity, quality, and cost-effectiveness in computer security. Having 20 years of experience, CyberSoft protects many platforms, including Microsoft Windows. So for the best antivirus security, visit www.cyber.com. For a limited time, you can purchase a one-year Windows antivirus security license for $24.95. For the best in protection, remember, in any computer security fight with the bad guys, we will be the last man standing. Call 610-825-4744. Or visit www.cyber.com. That's www.cyber.com.
When disaster strikes with a vengeance, Americans strike back with generosity. Thanks to your monetary donations, the Salvation Army is there from the very beginning and remains until the healing is complete, serving the physical and emotional needs of disaster victims and emergency responders. Give today at 1-800-SAL-ARMY. Or SalvationArmyUSA.org and help the Salvation Army continue doing the most good.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Heard every Tuesday at 3 p.m. on Radio 1540 AM. Between the Minutes reaches a large listening audience throughout the Tri-State area with 50,000 watts of power. You could increase your selling power by advertising on the Between the Minutes program. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales at betweentheminutes.com.
Hi, this is Anthony Murphy.
The Tri-State Area's radio talk show, Between the Minutes, continues on Radio 1540 AM with your host, Peter Rodotti.
Welcome back. You're listening to Between the Minutes on 1540 AM, WNWR. You can also listen to us on our website at www.betweentheminutes.com. Well, we're here with Bruce Castor, Commissioner of Montgomery County. Bruce, I want to change subjects a little bit. Instead of more of the Sunshine Act and the gang that couldn't shoot straight, let's talk a little bit about Just Matthews. Again, Times Herald. I got to tell you, the Times Herald is getting to be a really spicy newspaper. Times Herald, December 13th. Matthews calendar subpoenaed. Grand jury. Breakfast Club investigation may encompass campaign money with CBIZ. Yeah, okay. Can you talk about this for a second?
Well, I mean, I don't know any more about what the grand jury is doing than anyone else, but I do know about the campaign contribution issue. As in any government, the county commissioners are responsible for spending the tax money that comes into the county and on whether we need to contract for services or buy, you know, things for the geriatric center or pay the prison guards or whatever it is. That's how we spend the tax money. An unusual situation exists. The chairman of the county commissioners, Jim Matthews, as we all do, has a campaign committee, and the campaign committee has a treasurer whose job it is to take in funds that are contributed and approve expenditures that we make on behalf of our campaigns. Well, it so happens that that person, the treasurer for Commissioner Matthews' campaign committee, is also the county solicitor appointed by Matthews to that job, which makes him the county's lawyer. And he's the one who's approving whether we give contracts out or not to to professional service providers. And it just so happens that professional service providers, such as a group called CBIZ, are giving big campaign contributions to Commissioner Matthews' campaign, which then Commissioner Matthews is spending on what most of us would consider to be ordinary expenditures, such as his car and his meals and drinks at the bar and that sort of thing. And, you know, most people, when they if they go out and buy a car for $10,000, they have to earn $12,000 or $14,000 after taxes to have $10,000 left to buy a car with. But not Commissioner Matthews. He spends 100% of the expense of his car, gas, insurance, repairs, tolls, everything out of his campaign committee tax-free from contributions he gets from people who do business with the county. That is something that I think is a big problem, especially when the guy collecting the money is also the county's lawyer who is in charge of approving the contracts and also approving the expenditures from Commissioner Matthews' campaign funds. You tell this to someone outside the area, and they look at you like you're from another planet because they can't believe that anybody anywhere could withstand such a series of events. But somehow Commissioner Matthews has managed to convince at least some people in the public that he campaigns 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and therefore whatever he's doing, he's campaigning so he can use campaign funds. Kind of makes you wonder when he goes to work or when he goes to the shore, you know, or on vacation.
Well, actually, this is actually spinning out of control a little bit, all starting with Breakfastgate. After they photocopied Matthews and Hoffel's calendars, that's when they started looking about, you know, how's he gassing up his car? Is the county paying for the gas? Who's paying for the gas, you know? So there's questions about that. But, you know, we mentioned CBIZ, and again, the Times Herald, December 24th, okay, nice date, okay? CBIZ gives Matthews $24,000 and gets contract. Commissioner takes big campaign contributions, hands donor no bid job. I think that's called pay to play, and it's illegal.
I think that it is too. I don't know exactly the scope of what the criminal investigation is encompassing, but it wouldn't surprise me if it involved that.
Gets better and better. Now, people who read the Times Herald are familiar with what's going on, and there was a Times Herald poll about which of the county commissioners would you most like to see removed from office. Now, they didn't ask which ones would you like to have burned at the stake, but I think that was probably the idea. Joe Hoffel, 40%. Now, you think that'd be pretty high, except Jen Matthews, 46%. Lost. Only 11% of the people didn't like you. So, like I said, you know, how did you get in with these guys again? I mean, it's like a one rose with two skunks.
Well, the Republican Party stuck me against my will with Matthews, and the voters have to pick one Democrat, and so they chose Hoffel.
They have some really good people to select, but I guess they liked him. I don't know. Maybe because he lost against Senator Williams.
Well, I think that that was quite a telling election. I'm afraid Joe only got 9% of the vote and came in dead last, and he failed to get 50% of the vote in Montgomery County. So he spent $1 million, and that showing, I think, is hurting him with his party. I mean, I don't think Commissioner Matthews is a bad government official. I think he exercises bad judgment in hitching his wagon to Jim Matthews.
Yeah. I guess it's open to discussion because, you know, Mr. Hoffel has his own problems that he has to work out. And he maybe looks better in comparison to Matthews, but he has his own problems. And I think he's going to have a lot of problems as these investigations proceed. And by the way, this isn't just a county issue. There's a lot of talk going on in Montgomery County and some of the townships and boroughs of the exact same thing happening, but that's a different show. We'll get to that some other time. Okay, so let's move on. Let's see what else we have to talk about at the Times Herald that might be interesting right now. Okay. Matthews and Hoffel. Okay, here we go. This is Times Herald, December 26th, commentary by Al Pascal. What's the big question when two out of three county commissioners hold private breakfasts regularly, discuss county business while meeting with staff about the county operations? That's easy. Who pays the tab? Such as it is in Montgomery County, the county where Republican Commissioner Jim Matthews, in his ador to remain chairman, cut a deal a couple of years ago with Democrat Joe Hoffel to share power. Cross the aisle and deny the top choice of voters, Republican Bruce Castor, the opportunity to lead the county. Again, it's just what we've been talking about all along here. But do you have a comment on this?
Well, that's the big anti-democracy issue. There is a reason why the people of Montgomery County chose their district attorney to be one of the chief executives of the county. It's because they trusted the district attorney to be honest and to keep the government honest. These two men who lost in the popular vote decided that they would team up to exclude the county's district attorney and to engage in what I think will ultimately be shown to be a corrupt administration. And that's what's the subject of the criminal probes that are going on now.
Yeah, I guess this is Montgomery County's very own little WikiLeaks, huh?
I think it's actually not that little. I mean, Montgomery County has just under half a $1 billion budget. I mean, that's real money. That's real people's money.
Well, it's not just real people's money. That's a lot of money, $500 million
every year. And that's the money that goes to keep our prisons in operation and the sheriff's department in operation and the court system in operation and all the things that the public expects, the health department and whatnot, to make their lives easier and to protect them from harm. The people expected that their three county commissioners to behave honestly. And frankly, I think that at least two of the three of us have let them down.
Yeah. According to the Times Herald, again, January 13th, Castor names finance chair. Treasurer Ellis accepts position. What's this about?
Well, Tom Ellis is a former Montgomery County commissioner, and he is now the treasurer of Montgomery County. He was just appointed to that position by Governor Rendell when the prior treasurer, Garrett Page, was elected judge. Tom and I have not always seen eye to eye politically, but I value his judgment and his political judgment and his financial ability. So I brought him on the campaign to show that I'm inclusive in my campaign. Tom has had some personal issues that kept him from being able to run for re-election as commissioner that he has certainly paid the price for publicly, and that doesn't make his advice any less sound, and certainly I'm happy to have him aboard.
Well, from what I understand, back in December, the county budget was approved with no tax hike. So if you can get a budget and you're not having a tax hike in this bad economy, I think that shows some pretty good operations. But you're saying that this guy's going to be even better?
Well, no. The story about Mr. Ellis coming on board, he's the finance chair. He's the finance chair of my political campaign, not of the county. He's the treasurer currently of the county, so there's some I can see how that would cause some confusion. We didn't have a tax hike because we cut the county operations so dramatically that we actually are not performing the services that I think we need to perform, and we spent money on things we shouldn't have spent money on. We threatened the bond rating, and we've borrowed the county into its highest level of debt in history. Now, think about the enormity of that statement. The county was founded in 1784, and from 1784 till 2008, we managed to keep debt relatively low, and in just 3 years, we managed to explode that to the point where it's now its highest level ever. And that's how the the current commissioners, the majority, have managed to keep things afloat. It's like running your household by maxing out your credit cards and then figuring that you'll leave the debt to your children, and that's exactly what has happened.
Montgomery County used to have a fantastic rating for credit. I mean, what has happened to that?
Well, we had a AAA bond rating, which is of great significance because you can borrow at the lowest possible interest rate and you don't have to pay insurance in order to get your bonds. We still have a AAA rating, but the most recent borrowing, Moody's said it was a AAA rating with a, quote, negative outlook, end quote, which means we're going the wrong direction. And the next time, if we don't do something to strengthen our income reserves, they're going to reduce our bond rating. And I'm afraid that that's what's going to happen, and that will be the first time in history that that's happened. In fact, the statement that we have a AAA with negative outlook, that's the lowest rating we've ever gotten.
Wow. You said something very enticing. Money was spent in areas you disagreed with, and money was not spent in areas where you thought it should have been spent. Give us some examples.
Well, I guess the easiest way to put it is this way. If your neighbor calls you up and says, listen, Pete, could you come over? I got something I need help with. And you go over there and the porch is falling down off his house. And he says, can you help me rebuild my porch? And you say, sure. And he says, well, I'm a little short this month. Can I borrow $5,000 to put my porch up? Well, at that point, you got to go home and ask your wife, can I lend my neighbor $5,000? And your wife says to you, well, wait a minute, our porch is falling down. Let's fix our own porch before we go fix our neighbor's porch. Well, in this case, we appropriated money for road improvements and for streetscapes and for bridges and things that were not county property. And now when the county parking garage threatens to have the courthouse fall in on it and the county administration building is falling apart, now we don't have money to pay for those things. There's a $50 million bill that may come due shortly for a new radio system that we don't have the money for. And yet we managed to spend tens of millions of dollars on things that are not traditionally county expenses. And now when traditional county expenses have come due, we don't have the money.
Wow. We'll get back to this in a minute. You're listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM and live on the web at WNWR.com. And I want to announce that Bobby from Roxborough won the tickets. Thank you. And Bobby, hope you enjoy the show.
The multicultural voice of the Delaware Valley, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
Hi, this is Anthony Murphy, Executive Director of Town Watch Integrated Services. And Philadelphia needs you. We would like you to join the Town Watch group or start a Town Watch group in your community. To get in touch with me, you can reach me at 215-686-1459, or you can go to our website, www.townwatch.net, or you can go to philadelphia.gov, the Philadelphia website, and put in Town Watch, and you will find us and fill out an information slip. Philadelphia needs you to impact on the quality of life and help us to make sure that Philadelphia is a safer city. 215-686-1459. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti, your host on Between the Minutes, thanking you for listening to our show. Let's talk about CyberSoft Operating Corporation. CyberSoft has always stood for integrity, quality, and cost-effectiveness in computer security. CyberSoft invented antivirus for Unix and Linux systems. With 20 years' experience, they support more systems than anyone, including Microsoft Windows. Computer security problems are not single-faceted, and your solution should not be either. CyberSoft products like the VFine Security Toolkit include cryptographic baseline management in addition to a virus scanner. This allows you to detect more than just a software attack. For a limited time, you can purchase a one-year Windows antivirus security license for $24.95. In any computer security fight with the bad guys, we will be the last man standing. Call 610-825-4748 or visit our website at www.cyber.com. Again, that's 610-825-4748 or www.cyber.com.
America's men and women in uniform sacrifice every day for our country so we can continue to do the things we enjoy most, like playing soccer with our kids. But that's not an option for some families. I'm Devin McTavish, D.C. United Defender and two-time Humanitarian of the Year. For more than 140 years, the Armed Services YMCA has provided support for military families. Please join the AES YMCA in taking care of our soldiers' loved ones so they can continue to take care of us.
The Armed Services YMCA, serving those who serve America. ASYMCA.org.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Heard every Tuesday at 3 p.m. on Radio 1540 AM. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333 or email sales at betweentheminutes.com.
New World Radio, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
The Tri-State Area's radio talk show, Between the Minutes, continues on Radio 1540 AM with your host, Peter Rodotti.
Welcome back. You're listening to Between the Minutes on WNWR 1540 AM. Our special guest is Bruce Castor. He's the county commissioner for Montgomery County. Now, you were talking about spending money and not spending money where it's appropriate. You also said that the county spent money to fix roads that don't belong to the county?
That's right. I mean, the idea was that that PennDOT wasn't appropriating money for their own roads so that we would spend money with local municipalities to improve intersections and roads. Now, you know, that's great, except for that's not our responsibility. And if you have limited resources, you should spend it on what is a county responsibility first. Now, after you've done that, after you've fixed all of the things that the county needs and paid for all the county's expenses, if you have extra money to improve roadways that belong to the state or belong to municipalities or whatnot, well, then maybe you can do that. But, I mean, to have your priorities messed up, that's what's gotten us into the debt situation that we're in.
Yeah, well, if you're paying to repair your neighbor's porch, as you said, and you're not going to get that money back, that's not a very good investment. You should be repairing your own porch first.
Right. I mean, and in this case, they kept from me the fact that we had all these pending problems that needed to be paid for. And that, I mean, for example, we borrowed in November of 2007, we borrowed $25 million to expand the prison. Then we spent that $25 million on a whole bunch of other stuff and had to borrow the money again to pay for the prison project.
Okay. Wait a minute. How can you borrow the money for the prison and then spend it on candy?
Well, we spent it on, quote, economic development. And when your listeners hear those two words, economic development, they ought to put their hands on their wallets, because what that means is the government's spending a lot of money in areas where it has no business doing it. And what we did was we took the money that was supposed to be spent to build the prison, and we spent it on other things that were the political priorities of the other two commissioners. And then when the prison bill came due, we didn't have the money, so we had to borrow it again.
Okay. What about the budget? I mean, you guys passed a budget, but apparently you're asking people to cut their individual budgets some more in order to try to make up for this shortfall. You're actually getting some complaints from the controller, Morgan, who said that her office has operated under budget by more than $100,000 for 2009 and 2010, that she's, you know, fiscally conservative and believes in being frugal. However, slashing her $1.7 million budget would be a mistake. Okay, I guess the first question is, what does a controller do that they need $1.7 million?
Well, the controller is supposed to be the fiscal watchdog for the county to make sure that the county commissioners are spending the tax dollars prudently and within constraints required by law. The current county controller does a miserable job of that. There was a statute in the county that requires professional service contracts to be put out for bid, and you needed five bids before you could accept one of them to award the contract to. The controller simply ignored that and allowed Matthews and Offal to, for 2 years, to just give contracts to whoever they wanted. And in fact, they did it without even a vote of the commissioners. They just bypassed the vote of the commissioners, just like they bypassed the law. And at a public meeting, I brought this up and I said to the controller, "You're going to allow this to happen?" And she just let it go. And remember, I told you that the county solicitor, the lawyer who's supposed to make sure we follow the law, is Chairman Matthews' campaign treasurer. He's the one collecting the campaign contributions from the people getting the contracts.
Oh, this is just too rich. You know what, folks? You can actually download this radio show off of our website at www.betweentheminutes.com. It'll be available about 30 minutes after the show is over. I suggest you download it. This is a keeper, and you probably want to play it every so often just to listen to this one again. Oh, my,
People couldn't believe it.
Just a couple last little things. This looks like the Pennsylvania Supreme Court's getting involved on hearing the appeals of Montgomery County's ethics ordinance. And you got a ton of people running into running for commissioner this year, but you're definitely running.
I'm definitely running, and I think it'll be a very a spirited campaign. I hope that it's issues oriented and issues related, but when your record is as bad as the Huffell Matthews record has been, it'll probably end up being personal attacks.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be, and it'll be interesting. You got my vote.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Donnie Max Deli on 4th and Fayette Street in Conshohocken for the delicious hoagie tray. Donnie Max, great food at a great price. Call 610-828-8518. Also, thank you to the 2011 Philadelphia Auto Show, January 29th to February 6th at the Philadelphia Convention Center. Tickets can be purchased at the door or online at www.phillyautoshow.com. You've been listening to Between the Minutes on WNWR 1540 AM. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti, and our special guest today has been Bruce Castor, Jr., Montgomery County Commissioner, and it's been a great show. Thank you for coming.
Pete, thanks for having me.
Okay, see you next week.
The preceding program was brought to you by the CyberSoft Operating Corporation.
The multicultural voice of the Delaware Valley, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
When disaster strikes with a vengeance, Americans strike back with generosity. Thanks to your monetary donations, the Salvation Army is there from the very beginning and remains until the healing is complete, serving the physical and emotional needs of disaster victims and emergency responders. Give today at 1-800-SAL-ARMY or salvationarmyusa.org and help the Salvation Army continue doing the most good.
Listen to WNWR anywhere, anyplace on audio now. Call from any cell phone. 712-432-6621.
Here's an important message from Shalom Memorial Park. Because of the special bond that Shalom has established with the Jewish community, the major price increase you've been hearing about has been postponed until February 1st, only for WNWR listeners and for families with arrangements already in progress. This means that you still have the opportunity to make pre-arrangements at current prices and at the same time save additional money with Shalom's special family savings plan. Shalom Memorial Park has not fulfilled its commitment to the community if any Jewish family remains unprotected. To avoid the February 1st price increase and to take advantage of additional savings, please call Shalom Memorial Park now at 215-673-4600.